The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, June the 12th, 2017. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 157th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. Goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: Mediaite.com was one of the many outlets to cover the opening of the new production of Julius Caesar for New York City's Shakespeare in the Park. Seems it features a Julius Caesar who bears a striking resemblance to our 45th president. You think this might ruffle some feathers? Well, given how much attention this is receiving, without, of course, actually reviewing the production, I'm gonna say yes. Variety ran a great story on the success of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and how it has produced shows that have made it to Broadway as well as earned Tonys and Pulitzers. The Washington Post ran a piece previewing 3 outdoor venue Shakespeare productions coming this summer to the Washington, D.C. area: A Midsummer Night's Dream by Baltimore Shakespeare Factory, The Tempest by Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, and The Complete Works of Shakespeare Abridged by Fat and Greasy Citizens Brigade. I just wanted to say the name of that last one. The Independent in the UK ran a piece on Andrew Scott, who I first saw as Moriarty in the Cumberbatch Sherlock reboot, as his production of Hamlet is about to transfer to the West End in London. Parade was one of many media outlets to cover the pop playlist James Corden and Emily Blunt put together as a performance piece for Romeo and Juliet. Cute stuff. Vulture took the opportunity afforded by the Shakespeare in the Park production of Julius Caesar, as well as the upcoming TNT series, Will, to remind us how Shakespeare is more relevant than ever. As the birds chirp outside, the Idaho Statesman ran a piece on Idaho Shakespeare Festival's new production of Hamlet, which has 2 actors, one male, one female, alternating the role on a nightly basis. OregonLive.com ran a piece on the original practice Shakespeare troupe in Oregon that between June and August will perform 15 different plays in repertory at various locations using what is called original practice. As in Shakespeare's day, rehearsal times will be almost non-existent, scripts handed to actors will only have their lines and their cues on them, and a tangible vibe of excitement and danger. I love this, and would love to see one of their shows. So San Angelo previewed the upcoming production of As You Like It by Shakespeare on the Concho in San Angelo, Texas, coming this weekend. The Ladue News reviewed The Winter's Tale by Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, running through the end of the month in Missouri, saying that foreknowledge of the plot is helpful, but that the work here is solid. The Times-Picayune reviewed The Taming of the Shrew by New Orleans Shakespeare Festival, running through this weekend in New Orleans, praising the farcical tone. LEO Weekly reviewed Much Ado About Nothing by Kentucky Shakespeare, running through July 22nd, saying the production squeezes every delicious laugh that's possible out of this juicy play. Insider Louisville also reviewed the production at Louisville's Central Park, calling it a snappy and comical slam dunk. And finally, we've got a few reviews of that controversial Julius Caesar Shakespeare in the Park presentation. Deadline reviewed the new production by the Public Theater in New York City, saying that the Trump-inspired piece is one of the sillier interpretations seen, and that while it may be for our age, it certainly isn't for the ages. The New York Times also reviewed it, which runs through next weekend in Central Park, saying that it's a mixed bag. And the New York Daily News also reviewed it, calling it a topical, though not totally satisfying, take on Shakespeare. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On June 6, 1977, actress Sophie Stewart passed away. She played Celia in the 1936 version of As You Like It with Laurence Olivier and Elizabeth Bergner. On June 7, 1893, Edwin Booth, famed American Shakespearean actor and older brother of Lincoln assassin John Wilkes Booth, died in New York City. On that same day in 1394, Anne of Bohemia, the wife of King Richard II, died without children at age 28. His childless state made Bolingbroke's usurpation all the easier, and the War of the Roses pretty much an inevitability. On June 8, 1376, Edward, Black Prince of Wales, died. He predeceased his father, King Edward III, by a year, so that when the king died, he left the throne to that 10-year-old Richard II, a boy unprepared for the task ahead. And as we know from the Second Tetralogy, it doesn't end well. Also on this date in 1831, Welsh actress Sarah Siddons died. She was a famous late 18th, early 19th century actress, most famous for her Lady Macbeth. On June 9th, 68 AD, Nero, a Roman emperor oft cited by Shakespeare, committed suicide. On June 10th, 1421, Henry V landed in France for his third and final expedition, from which he would not return. All of the events of the play Henry V occur before this expedition. On June 11th, 1456, Anne Neville was born. Daughter to Richard the Kingmaker Neville, she married Edward, the son and heir to Henry VI. As we know from our readings, however, Edward was killed in the War of the Roses, and she would later marry Richard, Duke of Gloucester, and she would become Queen of England. Yes, she's that Lady Anne from Richard III. On June 12, 1488, Richard II faced down the Peasants' Revolt during the early days of his reign when he was just out of his teens. While he was successful, it affected his reign by creating a sense of having absolute power invested in the monarch, one that would make usurpation a more popular proposition. And that was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending June the 12th, 2017. For our blog and previous quiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week. Shakespeare fans, need a poster to hang in your room? Teachers, need some nifty handouts for your students to peruse as you introduce them to the Bard? Or are you just in the mood for some printable versions of some of the cool infographics found on this website? Well, regardless of how you answered those questions, I've got a scratch for that itch, a solution for that problem. Check out the Bill Shakespeare Project page on the Teachers Pay Teachers website. You can find character maps for Romeo and Juliet and Julius Caesar previewing the characters and their relationships to one another. I've also got geographical maps so your students can wrap their heads around travels within the plays Troilus and Cressida. Yes, even TNC gets some love. All's Well That Ends Well as well. See what I did there? Plus Pericles and Othello. There's also handouts on the so-called history in Macbeth and Julius Caesar, time in Romeo and Juliet, and violence in Titus Andronicus. Also, you'll find entire packets of handouts for both King Lear and Macbeth, including scene-by-scene timelines and the interactions as well as relationships between the characters. And I'll be adding even more soon. Plus, this is where you can find the printable version of the new and improved periodic table of Shakespeare. Some of these are for free, and some are for purchase, but all can be found on the Bill Shakespeare Project page on teacherspayteachers.com. Oh, and if you want to purchase a pre-printed poster-sized version of that periodic table, well then head on over to the Bill Shakespeare Project page on redbubble.com. Links to both of these sites can be found in the left-hand margin of this website.